Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Glad you've joined us today. My name is Todd Stiles. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church. Today is Tuesday, August 13th. And yes, we did miss a week. It was last week. I was out and was fully intending to record before I left and did not do that. So those intentions did not turn into action. I was reminded of that just this past weekend when, in a very kind and humble way, someone asked me, they said, did you record last week? I missed the podcast. Did I miss it or something? And so I said, no, I didn't make one. And they just, in a very complimentary fashion, just said, well, me and my boyfriend, we always kind of wait for it, then we talk about it. And I always kind of kid that perhaps we've only got about 5 or 6 listeners. Maybe we have a few more than that. But it was very humbling, very affirming, and very motivating. So we're back this week. We generally record the podcast and have it out each Tuesday. It affects, of course, and concerns the previous week's message and text. And so today will be no exception to that rule. We're going to be looking at something regarding our home that was the general topic from Colossians 3, 18 to 21. As you know, that is snuggled within a text and context that is about Christ's preeminence. And he goes right into the most fundamental environment, and that is the environment of the home. And I say it that way because I want us to take a minute and recollect Genesis. Because Genesis is where we see the beginning of a family or the beginning of the home environment. And I would say to you and encourage you to remember that it is the first and foremost, the primary environment that God created. We know there are three that are fundamental to every civilization. They're fundamental to God's economy, societies, and that is the home, which is the family. Then, of course, there's government and there's the church. Those are the three legs of the stool of civilization that need to be in place, the first of those being the home, a family. And so that's laid out in the beginning part of Genesis. And so this is the most important and the primary environment, not only for the flourishing of people, the flourishing of individuals, but I would say for the flourishing of civilizations and societies. It's the fundamental first environment that God created. And the thing I want to address is this: what can one do? What action can one take that would affect the environment, the emotional environment in that specific arena? What can one do to make a difference in the environment, or I would even say the tone of their home? So I refer to this emotional environment as home tone. And every home has a tone. It's not that some don't have one. The question is, what kind of tone exists in your home? And what I want to do is bring just a couple of applicational points to help those who want to change the tone in their home. If you've ever wondered how to decide what it is, one of the best ways is just to have someone visit your home or someone pop in surprisingly, whether you have kids or not, just have someone stop in and just unannounced, so to speak. They stop in unannounced. And what's the vibe they get in the first 15 to 20 minutes? This is especially a great test if you have children. But often, you know this is true because you pick this up when you visit someone's house unexpectedly, or even if you're planning to go. There's just something about the first 15, 20, or first 30 minutes in a home, you can kind of pick up the vibe or the tone of that home. Is it critical? Is it encouraging? Is it perfectionist? Is it spontaneous? There's all kinds of words you can use to describe the tone of a home. And I'm not saying that there's only one you're after. I think the point is you want to have a positive tone and not a negative tone. You do want to have an encouraging tone, not a discouraging tone. But there are various types of positive home tones, just like there are multiple ways to indicate a negative home tone. And what I would encourage you to do is to aim for a positive or encouraging, uplifting, and edifying home tone, and to have that in the way that's unique to you, your personality, your God-given wiring, your temperament, the way God has made you, in addition to the spiritual gifts that God gives you and sovereignly distributes to you at times, the things that are important to you, your priorities, those things you focus on, all of that's part of this crock pot, we'll call it, that comes into play when it involves your home tone. The end result, though, the out-of-the-oven product must be something that I believe is positive, encouraging, and builds people up. It's edifying. And so I want to give you a couple of suggestions, strong suggestions, in fact, exhortations, pastoral nudges to help you really begin to move towards or even to maintain a positive home tone, all right? And I want to begin with the two fundamental roles in a family, that of husband and wife. Those were laid out for us, of course, in our text from Colossians 3. That text in Colossians 3, by the way, is mirrored in Ephesians 5. So you have two New Testament passages that talk about these fundamental roles in a home and a family, a mom and a dad, or a husband and wife, mom and dad. And I want to focus and start there. And let me say this, that I'm drawing these from the book of Proverbs. I believe Proverbs, personally, is the most practical book in the Old Testament. And it's a beautifully action-oriented, principally driven book on how to live your life in a way that our behavior is noticeably different because of principles we believe. It's a wonderful book. I'd suggest reading part of Proverbs at least every day. Just fantastic life-governing principles that then help us determine our next steps in most situations, if not all. So I want to draw these actions from Proverbs regarding the two fundamental roles in a home or a family, and that is of the husband, wife, or mom and dad. All right, so here's in a nutshell, let me say what they are. To the wives or to the moms, I want to encourage you to focus on words. And to the husbands or dads, I want to encourage you to focus on action. Now, let me expand just a bit on those, and then I want to reference a book as I close. First of all, to wives or moms, I want to encourage you to focus on your words and to use your words as a way to change your home tone to a positive one or to maintain and even increase the affirming overall vibe in your home, the encouraging nature of what is felt in your home. Here's why I say that. You know, multiple times in Proverbs, Solomon really, I would say, warns men, and he also, you could say in one sense, he warns women not to be the kind of woman, the kind of mom or wife that uses words to nag or consistently complain. He uses the word drip, like, you know, you don't want to be the dripping kind of person who verbally just incessantly is coming at someone just over and over in small incremental ways, chipping away, picking away. There's multiple references throughout Proverbs about how a woman uses her words. And here's why I think that is. It may be that the tendency is to use words in order to motivate or to get their way or to change a situation, to use words in a negative way to see that happen. Maybe, perhaps Solomon's saying that's a tendency in women. I don't know for sure, but I find it interesting that when it comes to moms and wives, Solomon seems to focus multiple times on how they use their words. So my understanding is that words are one of a woman's most powerful tools. So use them to build a positive home tone. So I would encourage moms and wives, commit to no complaining, no demeaning words. And of course, these principles, these habits are echoed in the New Testament for both men and women. But I do think in a home, in a family, a mom's words carry great weight. And you can often detect the vibe in a home within the first few minutes by how the mom or the wife speaks to those around her when you first come into a home. Let's say you make a surprise visit or you stop somewhere unannounced, or even if you're just planning to go by. You can tell in the first few minutes the tone of a home often by how the wife speaks, how the mom communicates. And so can I just encourage, if you're a wife or a mother and you're in a home and you want to see the tone of that home change, I think one of the best and first things you can do is really begin to work on your words and use them only to communicate positive, affirming, edifying messages. Now, this does not mean that you don't address things that are difficult or have negative things to say, but I'm speaking of how you say even those difficult negative things. Work at communicating what is positive about the future, even when you have to deal with something negative in the present. I also would encourage you with these two action points in regards to that. I think that your first words ought to be positive words every single day. You know, the first things we say to children are often, and even to our spouses, but the first things we say are often the things they remember. They're often the, can we say, temperature setting words. And so when someone gets up in the morning, when you're greeting your children, when you're fixing breakfast before school, if it's in the summer and they're getting up later and, you know, they're just kind of meeting you downstairs or another part of the house, however your home is structured, however the time frames work, there is a moment when you first greet your kids. And I would encourage you, make sure that first statement, those first words and sentences are positive. Let them know that all the good things that's coming up. And so, yeah, I just think the first words really matter. In fact, in our home for many years, we had this general rule, no words until your first word is a positive word. And I'm not sure how we said it exactly in those days, but I will be frank with you. There were some mornings that some of our children would sit at the counter and they'd eat their cereal in silence. So there's just times that it wasn't going to work. You start the day with complaints, or even for me and Julie, we weren't going to start off, you know, trying to correct a bunch of things right off the bat. Let's just get the day started right. And I do believe a lot of times that really lands upon a mom to begin that day with positive, affirming, encouraging, you know, visionary words about what God's going to do in the next 24 hours. And so think of that in some way as a way to set the temperature and to kind of set the trajectory. And you can do that by using your words. So I'd say, first of all, start the day with positive words. Then I'd say this, try to have this ratio in mind a lot, that for every negative thing you have to say, you could even use the word difficult, and we all have to do that sometimes. Balance that with 7 positives, where you're complimenting, you're commending, you're noticing what's right. And you want your kids to really leave each day knowing that even in the middle of difficult things that had to be discussed, or correction, instruction, those things, they exist. It's real. That's parenting. You don't want that to be the predominant thing they remember. And so you have to intentionally make sure, and I'll use this phrase, go overboard in noticing the positive and commending the positive. So I think a 7-to-1 ratio is one that works pretty well. I didn't think of that. I remember years ago reading that ratio in the book on parenting. I kind of adopted it personally. I think it is helpful and it works. And one of the best phrases to use when you're really working this ratio out is simply this. Just learn to say, I'm proud of you in key moments, and continue to say it, especially in regards to character development versus conduct. Now, it's perfectly fine and appropriate to notice conduct, certain kinds of behavior, and say, I'm proud of you. But I think it is more powerful when you see a character trait exhibited in that behavior and you reference that character trait and say, I'm proud of you for being, and fill in the blank, as opposed to always, I'm proud of you for doing. Again, these are ways to use our words, and I'm especially here leaning into our wives and moms and saying, I do believe personally the one way that you can begin to most affect the tone of your home is through the proper and encouraging use of words. Now, I mentioned to dads and husbands that they should focus on action. And here's why I say that. Because in Proverbs, again, there's multiple references to men really fighting hard against the sin of laziness, sluggishness. And so often I'll say to dads at men's conferences or at a men's breakfast, or even just when I meet with men one-on-one, I'll say, you know, when you have kids at home, and this is true even when your kids aren't home, but it's especially true when your kids are home. I know you come home from work. I know that often it's tiring. You have a lot on your mind, just like your wife does. But, you know, it's hard to kind of get your attention back in the game of home. And one of the best things you can do is make a decision that is that there's no remote or recliner until you're activated with your children and with your home. So don't come home expecting an easy street. Come home expecting to get involved. So no remote, no recliner. The first thing to do is to get involved with my kids or in my home with my wife. Again, that starts by greeting them. It starts by asking questions, seeing how you can help. And I admit to you, this is not an easy task. Just like wives and moms have difficult tasks with their words and setting the temperature and approaching things, you know, with language. So men often, they do tend to, after work, they tend to think, well, I'm done. And the real issue, the real matter is that you're not done. In fact, the most important things are just beginning. And admittedly, this is especially hard if you have multiple kids at home that are pretty small. That work never ends, and you're engaged from the moment you walk in the door till they're in bed. Admittedly so. But it's not forever, and it is what we signed up for, to be involved as a parent. And so I want to encourage men to really fight the sin of laziness, to fight the pull of sluggishness, to get, you know, into the recliner and grab the remote, to click on a TV and just kind of let that take you away, so to speak. It's not helpful, and it does kind of set a tone in your home that really, once dad's finished with work, it's more about inactivity. And so I encourage dads to be about action, especially when they get home and when they're at home, you know, weekends, whatever. Have schedules that are appropriately busy, that involve children in projects. I would say and encourage you to coach their teams or be involved in their clubs. I know a lot of families do things like that. More families than not drop their kids off. I'm not a huge fan of that. I'd say if you can, try to be involved in it. So these are all things, especially for dads, to really lean in with action, because what you're doing is you're showing your children that living life is way better than watching life. And so, dads, I want to lean on you here. You will be tempted and you'll fight the sin of laziness and sluggishness. You'll have to fight against inactivity. And so you can change the tone of your home first and most by being a man of action and getting involved and doing things and taking on projects and initiating. And when you hear about needs in the home, when your wife expresses things that have to be done, and you guys talk about these, get right on them. Delegate, get your kids involved, assign chores. These are things I think that really help set the tone in your home, especially when it comes to husbands and dads. So again, just to review real briefly, women, one of the first things you can do to affect the tone of your home, the vibe in your family, is to focus on the right kind of words. And men, one of the first things you can do to affect the tone of your home, the vibe in your family, is to focus on the right kind of actions, staying involved and engaged, not disconnecting or unplugging when you get home. So these two things will most affect the emotional temperature in your home. They'll most affect the emotional tone of your home. And they'll begin to push it and give it a trajectory that's towards the positive, encouraging end of the spectrum and away from the negative, demeaning end of that line. One book I want to recommend, and this could be a little self-serving, possibly, but I do think it will help a lot of our listeners, is I talk more about this in my book, Home Run. And so you can find it on Amazon, or if you need a copy, I think I have some as well. But it's also at a couple of bookstores in Ankeny. But your best place is to go to Amazon. It's called Home Run. You can just search Home Run and then put my name in there. I think the subtitle is Swinging for the Fence Where It Matters Most. And what I do in that book is I walk through Psalm 128 and talk about the different roles in a family, from children, daughters, and sons to moms and dads. I talk about the family as a whole. And it's not a long book at all, but it's just a simple look at some things that I think have helped our family from the Bible. There are some anecdotes in there. There's some applicational points. There's also some theology woven into the book from the Psalms. So it's kind of a mixture. But I would encourage you, if you're looking for information about the home tone, how to implement that, pick up that book, Home Run, and then be looking soon for a parenting seminar that I do periodically. It's called the Parenting Game Board. I talk about home tone in that seminar. It's usually a half a day or maybe a couple of hours. It depends on which ages we're focused on. But I think we're looking at scheduling that here in the next maybe year or so when we focus on some parenting things. We either focus on parenting or marriage or both at different times throughout the year. So as that kind of approaches, you may be seeing that. I've yet to put that seminar in any kind of written form. I hope to. But just be aware, those two opportunities, either the seminar called The Parenting Game Board or the book that's out called Home Run, could give you some more information on this idea of home tone and how to really affect your family's environment for the good. Well, I hope that's been helpful today. Again, it comes right out of Colossians 3, where we see that the most fundamental environment where we must act on Christ's preeminence is our family, is the home. And I'm convinced that the two ways that can happen visibly and quickly and in a way that lasts is through the right use of words by wives and moms and a posture of action by the husbands and dads.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.